Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, everyone. Welcome to Speaking Volumes with your host tonight, Marisa Shiso Cherry. Tonight we're going to have a feature, and her name is Sister Akela Koulibaly. She will be calling in with us and telling us a little bit about her book called How I Left There, as well as sharing some poetry. I just want to let you guys know a little bit about the show. Basically, I came up with the idea to start this show because there are a lot of people that write and do poetry but are, you know, afraid to get up on stage and actually, you know, perform. So I wanted to give everyone a forum where they could share their writing without feeling intimidated, having to perform in front of other people. They're in their home, they're on the phone, you know, and you can just say what you want to say and nobody even knows who you are. So that's what this is for. And also, I want to give a forum for the youth to also come and speak and say what they have to say, although it is a little late for the youth to be up, but it would be nice to hear from them. So what we're going to do is we're going to see if there are any, if there's anyone that is interested in getting on the open mic. I'm going to have the open mic open throughout the show. The show runs until 12 o'clock. So if there's anyone interested in getting in on the open mic, press 1 now. Okay. Caller 347, you're on the air. Hello, 347.
Hi, come.
Hi.
Waalaikum
salam. How are you?
Ms. Shiso?
Yes, this is Shiso.
This is Akela. I'm holding in the queue.
Why'd you press 1? Why'd you put your hand up?
Well, I thought you wanted me to press 1 at this time. Sorry about that.
You wanted to be the first one to talk. Okay. We're going to hold out for you for a little while longer. All right. Anyone else want to get on the open mic right now? I'm going to open the mic right now, and then in the middle we'll have our feature. Come on. Anyone else? Okay. I see callers, but no one's raising their hand. Okay. Well, I think maybe we should interview our feature now. Are you ready?
I'm back on, though. Sorry.
I don't think you ever went off.
I don't know. I pressed 1 again, and so I was holding in the queue again. So here I am.
All right. Well, let me give you your bio. Sister Akela Koulibaly. She comes from Queens, New York. Currently, she lives in Philadelphia. She's an author, writer, and poet. She just recently released a book back in January called How I Left There. An excellent book. I read it. It was really, really good, and I've seen great reviews on Amazon. She released her book. She's been doing spoken word for many years. She just recently got out onto the open mic and started performing in March, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
In March?
Yes, that's right.
Yes. I have known this sister, mashallah, for many, many years, and she is like a big sister to me. So it's definitely an honor to have her on here and have her speak to us and tell us about her book and just some poetry for us at the end, right?
Yes, thank you, my little sister.
So how are you tonight?
I'm great, anticipating the show and eager to hear some of the poetry. So, yes, I'm excited about
it, too.
So are you going to be performing some poetry for us tonight, Ms. Shiso?
No, Shiso is just going to be the host tonight. I'm not performing anything. I'm just going to play the host tonight. Do you want to start? Do you want to perform your poems first, or do you want to perform your poems after?
It's up to you. Do you have me set up to go?
Are you ready? Are you ready for your poetry now?
Sure. I have a piece that I can perform right now.
Okay.
Well, this piece is called Check Yes or No, and this is like a... This piece was inspired by the actual book or the earlier part of the book, How I Left There. It's Check Yes or No is the title, and it's about innocence lost. It's about a young girl who went from being this innocent little girl thrown into a world of craziness. So the poem kind of speaks on that. And Check Yes or No pretty much comes from the childhood love letter passing that we did in like elementary school when we wanted to get a boy's attention or vice versa. So we would send the letters basically saying, if you like me, check yes or no. So that's where the title comes from. So I'm going to perform that piece for you guys tonight. Check yes or no if you like me. Carried the crush paper in my backpack for weeks after he dropped a note at the foot of my seat when the bell rang, bells rang, and butterflies fluttered as I anticipated his response, as sweat ran down my palm. Felt like his answer held more power than the 21st Psalm. Told my heartbeat to be calm, but I knew by his smile that writing the letter would be worth my while. Meanwhile, the days of youthful bliss were headed for an unimaginable twist, and life, as I knew it, would no longer exist. And life as I knew it would no longer exist. He checked off yes because he liked me. For youthful bliss and childhood games like run, catch, and kiss and wordless phone conversations and googly eyes and butterfly sensations. Now womanhood was hunting me down like she lost something that I just so happened to have found. Like, so I told that chick womanhood to slow her road because my mind wasn't ready for the story my body told or for boys and corner thugs way too old. Should have known corner thug wasn't interested in a check yes or no letter. Should have covered my adornments if only I knew better. Should have ran with my friend virginity because losing her would be forever. Should have known from the first time my nose bled that his intentions were to control me forever. So there I was, just 10 months on the other side of puberty, pinned down and lip busted as he violently stole my virginity. As I cried and wondered why God chose to be my enemy. And I wondered if I learned to be a victim like my Umi, or if I learned I had no self-worth for my daddy, because he didn't much care for women or femininity. Yes or no, do you like me? Because I'm wondering if me face down in the backseat of your car means I'm worthy. And don't worry, I won't tell a soul that you're way too old, because that last black eye you gave left a permanent mark on my soul. Yes. Or no, do you like me? Now I'm wondering if I should have sent myself a check yes or no letter. You see, I might not have been there if only I'd liked myself better. And I probably would still have my friend virginity, but now she's lost somewhere far beyond infinity. And I thought me, her, and my other friend Innocence who had formed the Trinity, but Innocence died the first time Corner Thug entered me. Now I'm standing here wondering if losing them means losing me. Yes. Or no, do you like me? Thank you.
Woo! That was hot. That's based on your book, How I Left.
It's like a synopsis of the first couple of chapters. It kind of goes from hot to cold, like I said, innocent to caught up in something that she was couldn't fathom would be part of her life, but unfortunately it was. So that's where that poem derived from.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about your book a little bit later in the interview. What I want to talk to you about right now is your poetry. Your style of writing, your process. How do you come into a poem? Like, is there a ritual that you have, or do you just, you know, do you need inspiration to hit you first, or can you just sit down and write? Like, how's your writing process?
Well, writing for me has always been therapeutic. So poetry and, like, short stories, I tend to write it's usually inspired by something that's going on in my life or something that I've witnessed or somebody's story, and I kind of just, it's just thoughts in my head that I kind of just jot down on paper at first, and then I usually go back and kind of format it into a poem. But it usually starts out as thoughts that, like, just kind of, like, rushing about in my head, and I just write them down. And then I go back and, you know, format it into poetry style. And so I'm not necessarily a writer that's, you know, I don't necessarily write about all the frilly, cute, sweet stuff. It's usually real life events and
no,
sometimes a little raw. So my poem tends to be a little in your face, kind of raw at times. So, I mean,
and that's good. That's good. We definitely need, you know, poems that are talking about life and that can give us some type of, inspire us and give us an awakening. I think we all
exactly.
need that. Because a lot of us are
exactly.
sleeping, unfortunately, and we don't realize what's going on around us. There's so many different social issues. It's funny because I just want to share this real quick. Me and my cousin were in the car, and so we were listening to Marvin Gaye. And it was just funny because it's like everything that he talks about, it totally pertains to everything that's going on today. You know, it's so timeless. And so I'm just
I
mean, that was how many years ago did this man made this album? I mean, when are we gonna start to change what's going on around us, you know?
Exactly.
So I think it's important. I love the fact that, you know, this whole movement, I know that spoken word has always been here, but it seems like in the Muslim community it's becoming very popular, you know, and I appreciate that because I'm like, you know what, we need to start speaking up. We need, especially as sisters, it's time for us to start speaking up and, you know, take notice of what's going on and trying to implement a change somewhere, you know.
Exactly.
So I think that's so cool. I think it's really cool.
Exactly.
But so
and
how long have
I
you been writing?
100%. Writing, I have been writing since I was a young girl, but probably I would say maybe about 20, 25 years without telling my age. I've been writing for a while.
20 years.
I've been writing for a while. But
okay.
I've been,
and what made? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to just tell you that as far as my novel is concerned, I've actually been writing that novel for about maybe 15 years and was actually given the opportunity to complete it within the last year when I was able to, you know, stay home and focus on it. That's how I was able to complete it. So I've been writing that for a while. But the poetry I've been writing sporadically throughout my entire, I would say, like, teenage life until adulthood. So.
15 years on a novel? Wow. That's why that book is so thick. That's why it's so many pages, 15 years.
I know.
But you know they say every American has the best novel. Like, everybody has the greatest American novel in their head. It just takes a long time to write it. That writing process is really killer.
Mm-hmm.
I know, because I've written a couple of stories and they're not finished, unfortunately. Inshallah, one day, you know, you give me inspiration to one day get it done. Remember when you was writing and I was like, listen, I'm going to start writing mine. I started and then I stopped again, but inshallah, I'm going to get back on track. So
inshallah.
We'll see inshallah how that works out.
But that's
but,
a normal process for writers anyway, to start. And
yeah,
start.
It takes a while. It does, and we are like our own worst critics. Like, we have to self-critique over and over again. Like, I don't know how many things I've written that I've, like, okay, I don't like this, and I erase. And it's like, start at square one. So,
I
totally relate to that. Yes. Okay, well, the book, How I Left There, for those of you that haven't read it, you definitely need to get your copy. And at the end of her interview, we will give out all her contact information so that you can get your copy. You can also go on the Blog Talk Radio show page, and you can click on the picture of the book, and it will take you to Amazon where you can actually purchase the book, or you might be able to hit her up if you're in Philly or even New York, because she goes back and forth. and get a copy of the book. But I want to get into the book. I want to get into Akira and all of the trials and tribulations that Akira goes through. I mean, okay. I know that you're writing the second part. Okay, mm-hmm. And Akira, I'm hoping in the second part Akira has some sunshine in her life.
The liberation has taken place.
Huh?
Like she was liberated at some point in her life.
Yes, because Akira had a lot of cloudy days. So,
yeah.
Akira, like, tell us about Akira. What inspired you to come up with that character? What message were you trying to send out with your book?
Well, to start, how I left there is based on true events. And so the story is basically a true story with some adjectives to it. Akira actually, at a very young age, let me start from the beginning. Akira grew up in a household where there was domestic violence issues. So she unknowingly, we're going to say she unknowingly kind of carried that into her own life as a teenager. She found herself in various relationships with boys that were very violent, very dysfunctional. So the book is based on the domestic violence from the beginning to the end. And I really wanted to kind of get the story out about Akira, because here she is, this young girl going through domestic violence. And I know that we hear about it, but the focus is not on that when we talk about domestic violence. It's usually about women, you know, grown women in relationships. But there is this crazy statistic about young girls who 1 in 4 report being in an abusive relationship throughout their teenage life. And a lot of times girls are afraid to come forward and talk about what's going on with them, or they may be afraid to the point that they fear for their life. And this is basically what happened to Akira. She was in a relationship that was very violent, with a very violent person, and instead of her telling, she went through years and years of abuse by this person because she feared not only for her own life but for the retaliation that would take place on her family if she kind of exposed this guy for, you know, what he is or what he was. So it's a struggle. The book is about her struggle to get out of that dysfunctional relationship or dysfunctional time in her life, and it's also a struggle for her because she's trying to find herself at this time and define who she is as an individual, and at the same time, she's trying to hold on to her spirituality, her religion, and it's just a never-ending struggle. The book is, you know, basically about her life from the age of 12 until 17, 18, and without giving too much information, it ends, the book ends, and then the second book actually picks up right where this book ends. So you'll get to hopefully see if there's been some changes implemented in her life after the age of 17 or 18. So I'm not going to really tell you what that's about. But like I said, it's a book that deals heavily with domestic violence and dysfunction. She's, you know, a young girl growing up in urban New York City where she faces, like, all these challenges in her life. And it's almost like she's living this private life. Like, no one, as far as, like, her family, no one really knows what's going on with her. And in book two, I will say that a lot of that will come out. Her family will be made aware of a lot of the stuff that she's gone through, you know, in her earlier years. So it's a definite read for young girls and women in general, especially women who are raising teenage girls, because there's some signs that, you know, I kind of, like, really take heed on in the book because I want women to realize there are things that are going on with their girls, and there's these little signs, and a lot of times we ignore them, thinking, oh, that's just nothing, that's just typical. And a lot of times it's not. A lot of times it's not typical. It can be something really, really horrible going on with your young girl. So I just wanted to raise awareness on that as well.
Okay, I want to take this caller real quick because they've had their hand up for a while. So I'm just going to put a call along with us.
Okay.
Caller 718, you're on the air. Hi, come.
Well, caller 718. Are you talking to me?
Hi, baby.
Assalamualaikum.
Hi, lady, what's up?
I just want to give my shout-outs and my support to you. So I just wanted to call in. If y'all don't know who this is, it's Najma 53. And just let you know that I'm listening to the show. And I feel like I'm in Akilah's living room right now, actually.
Really?
Because you guys are so comfy. And y'all just chilling. Talking about the book. So it's mad chill vibe going on right now.
Yes, that's a good vibe to have. Alhamdulillah, I'm happy that it feels like that. I definitely want everybody to feel comfortable. I'm hoping that you're going to share some poems with us on the open mic at 11:30.
Yeah, I'll definitely I'll hang out and do something for the open mic. But and Akilah, do not give away the whole book. I had to put the phone down because I was like, you're telling me too much, and I want to read the book.
Did you start reading it yet? Did you get
it? Yeah, I was like, she starts saying all this stuff, and I was like, I don't want to know because she's gonna ruin it. So I had to actually mute the phone and then come back because I was like, I don't want to hear the end.
But she didn't give away a lot. I'm telling you.
I wasn't sure, but she was cutting kind of close.
No, it's a surprise. I don't want it to be ruined. That will surprise you.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm extremely excited to read the book because it sounds extremely interesting. So, alhamdulillah, yes. I'm definitely on that. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Thank you. And for all those that don't know, that don't know who Najma 53 is, Najma is a poet, a visual artist, a fashion designer, event planner. She does everything.
Yeah,
so
definitely
does everything. Matter of fact, she has two shows that she does on Blog Talk Radio. Najma, you can plug that. Wednesdays and...
Well, I do the morning show with DJ Mecca, and that comes on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Friday, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., and that's on Blog Talk Radio, American Muslim 360 is the channel. And Wednesday evenings, I just started my own show, which is an entertainment show, and inshallah, hopefully both of you will be guests on that show one day, very soon, hint, hint. And that show is an entertainment show that showcases very similar to what you guys are doing. I showcase Muslims and talent and entertainment all the way from spoken word artists to designers, photographers, whatever, and I'm keeping you in the know about what's going on around the Muslim world.
That's good. We definitely
and
need more shows
artist,
like
your artist, brother, Seth.
He
has a show also.
Seth has a show, yeah. His show is on Saturdays. And he has interchangeable guest hosts. And today he had Anwar Jabari, which was an excellent show. And his name of his show is Speak On It. And that show comes on noon to 1:30 on Saturdays on Blog Talk Radio, American Muslim 360.
Oh,
so
wow.
Check that
and
out.
So
and his HBO show is coming out October 23rd.
Oh, wow.
Like, he's all over the place. There's a lot of stuff to check out for him, too.
Alhamdulillah, he's a very talented brother as well as Anwar Jabari. Definitely. At the end of the show, I'll post in the comments their information so you can take a look at, their information and see if you can get on their Facebook page and everything. But those brothers are very talented, so definitely keep an eye out for them. But Najma, I'm going to continue with the interview.
Go ahead. Just put me on the hold and then tell me when you want me to do the open mic. But I'm just sitting here chilling, enjoying the show.
All right. I'm happy you called in.
Yes.
I just wanted to send my love because I love you guys.
We love you too.
Mashallah.
Oh, and me and Luska's here too, so Luska says, assalamu alaikum.
Luska says,
hey.
Inshallah. All right, we're going to get y'all on the open mic. Tell Luke's going to get her poems together for the open mic, inshallah.
Uh-oh, I got you on that one.
Luke, don't start.
You sent me on pages now, too.
Listen, I'm putting you on blast. We got people listening in. You better get them poems together, girl. So when can we expect your next book, and does it have a title?
My next book actually was supposed to be out by now, but
she's working, mom, everything. So you have a reason as to why it's not out yet. So,
yeah.
But it's supposed to be maybe like in the summer next year or something.
Oh no, definitely not that far. I'm looking. I'm probably midway done with the writing part of it, but of course it's going to be several editing steps before I move on to part two. So I'm thinking maybe the beginning of the year, and the book is titled Akira, which is the character's name from part one. It's titled Akira, Life After. And once you finish with book one, you'll understand the title of book two, for those who haven't read it. So I don't want to kind of give it away. Since Najma said I was giving away too much information.
She doesn't even know the half. She does not know.
I know.
She does not know. So real quick, I just want to, got this last 4 minutes. I wanted to ask, and this is something, inshallah, that I want to ask all my features. Your first poem. Do you remember your first poem?
My first poem ever?
That you ever wrote. Do you remember it?
Well, I remember, in elementary school, I wrote a poem. Do you remember when the, and I can't even remember the name that they gave those astronauts that went up into space back in the 80s, and then the, all of them passed away because it kind of, something happened, it blew up or whatever. And I actually wrote a poem for NASA, and it was actually posted on their wall, and it was in reference to that event, and I can't remember the name of it, but I remember that was probably the first poem that I can remember writing. I think it was the Challenger or the Seven something. It was seven of the astronauts that went up into space, and they passed away. And my mind is drawing a blank because it's probably going to come back to me afterwards.
You don't remember, all right.
That I wrote. But I actually have a poem that I wrote when I was about 15 or 16. And it was called Hate, unfortunately, that I remember.
Do you remember it to recite it is what I was getting at?
I don't know.
No, all right, well, mashallah. Okay, well, I wanted to, last thing I'm going to ask you, because I'm going to get ready to open up the open mic. So everybody, I need to see your hands up. Press 1 if you want to be on the open mic. The open mic, inshallah, probably 11:35, we're going to start it. And all of you that have your hands up, I see you. I'm going to get to you. Just let me finish this interview up. your poetry, okay? Can you tell us why you write? Like, what are you trying to accomplish by writing? Why did you decide to, you know, actually come out and start to share your work rather than just write in the privacy of your home and just, you know, keep your poems to yourself? Why did you decide to share?
Well, I didn't start out writing to share my work. In fact, I've been writing for years, as you know, and I didn't share any of my work. But later on, I realized I had a lot of valuable stuff that needed to be said, and particularly towards the youth. I've kind of like taken this vow to kind of like raise awareness and help uplift the youth. So I kind of wanted to get a lot of my work out there to you know, to get it out there to the youth, because there's, like I said, there's a whole lot of stuff going on with our youth today, and there's not a lot out there for them. There's not a lot of mentoring going on out there, and I kind of wanted to be that, be the mentor through my words, you know, starting through my words and, of course, getting out there and actually doing some, getting my hands and feet into the whole aspect of mentoring. But it started out, like I said, kind of raising awareness towards a lot of stuff that our youth are going through today. So if you'll notice that a lot of my poetry is geared towards the youth. So that's definitely
it's very, very important that we reach out to our youth, because, you know, that is our future. And if we don't reach out to them and send the message to them so that they can start to correct things, and, you know, it'll just remain the same. And that's another reason for this spoken word show. I wanted to give the youth the outlet, even though, like I said, it is pretty late, but it's Saturday. So, you know, the teenagers are usually up. But give them somewhere where they can also share their work. They may not be able to go out to, you know, actually perform their poetry, but they can give it to us on the open mic, you know. So,
right,
exactly. You know, and so, all right, we're going to get ready to close this interview with Sister Akela Kulibali. But before you go, I'm going to ask you to give us one more poem, or maybe two more poems. You want to give us two more poems?
Okay. Sure, why not? I'll do the second poem, and then I was thinking maybe, no, I'll do two poems. I'll go into two poems.
Okay, before you get into the poems, can you tell the people where to find you, where to add you, Facebook, where to buy your book, how to contact you, or your contact people?
Absolutely. You can currently purchase the book titled How I Left There on Amazon.com, as well as BarnesandNoble.com. You can find me on Facebook. It would probably be easier, since my name is so long and hard to spell, to look me up under the book title, How I Left There. You can also reach me on my website, Akula Kulibali, AkulaKulibaly, at vpweb.com. And I did give you Barnes & Noble. I'm drawing a blank again.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how you can get me. The best way to communicate with me is through Facebook. I check it regularly.
Okay. And we look forward to hearing from you, and keep us up to date on, you know, your future projects and any place you're going to be performing. Definitely keep us aware. And without further ado, I'm going to let you do your last two poems. So go ahead.
This next poem is called The Plight of the Stereotype. And I think you'll kind of know where I'm going with this poem just by, you know, the words. So, the plight of the stereotype. Stigmas and stereotypes and the plight of the black and brown faces destined to be statistical figures and forgotten images of silent pain, treated inhumane by local oppressors and parental imposters and so-called ghetto saviors, emancipated into a system designed to keep one stagnant, rote failure and life haphazard, dependency on deficiency and bonded, systematically enslaved but said to be free, shunned by society, looking to their peers for notoriety, inflicting pain and wounds due to inferiority, many raised inadequately, but who's to blame when mama don't even know daddy's name and daddy's too caught up in the street game? You see, we lost a treasure from our ancestors. Where is the village it takes to raise them? Culturally divided, disconnected from our heritage, happy to accept negative depicted versions of who we are. Culturally divided and disconnected from our heritage and ashamed to embrace what we were and who we are. And so we lash out at our mirror image, spit in the faces of those we descended from, too ashamed to be called anything other than Americans. Proud participants and patriotic disciples of the very same culture that enslaved us. Detached the umbilical cord that connected us to our mother, Africa, never once thinking about taking that journey back to reconnect the dots that have been disconnected from generations and generations and distorted by Jim Crow and them good old laws. chasing only the American dream. By any means, can't begin to fathom a life without that American dream. Sweet pastures, even in the hood shacks and government houses that have become estates and heirlooms passed down from generations to generations. Some live their entire life not knowing about the heroism of men like Mansa Musa and Kwame Nkrumah, Dred Scott Keyes, and Marcus Garvey. Never knowing that Africa connects them to their Latino brothers and sisters that society has successfully divided. Never knowing about the African they called Juan Garrido and the African entourage of Ponce de Leon, said to be some of the first free Africans to migrate to the island of Puerto Rico. Divide and conquer was always the game plan. You don't need to leave the continent of North America to witness a genocide like the one in Rwanda. No Tutsis and Hutus, just Bloods and Crips and light-skinned versus dark and kinky versus straight and black-on-black crime. Our own image do we hate. Our own image do we hate. So I say, where is the village it takes to raise them? And that's it for the plight of the stereotype.
Wow. Yeah. Whew. Well, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to, that doesn't need any words. I'm sure that the people raising their hand might have something to say. Because, definitely, wow. Okay. We'll let you do your last poem so we can get the open mic open.
This last poem is called Infallible. Destructive is the mind that leads the individual to believe that he is infallible. Your insatiable appetite for money, power, respect leads you to believe that's all you need in life. So you walk blindfolded into the darkness, deserting every notion and manifest evidence that you were created, ignoring the boundaries set to ensure your soul a final resting place in peace. Distorting the scriptures and pragmatic sanctions of beloved prophets like Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. Circumventing the pillars of peace to make palatable to the monopolizers in your circle. Abandoning prayer, only focus on ways to ensure your wealth increase. Money, your Lord and Savior. Power is your reason for existing. Respect is the only thing that connects you to the mere mortals fallen at your feet, eager to be indoctrinated into your club of the elite. Consciously ignoring your subconscious, vague memories of ritual prayers and congregations with God-fearing men on your left, and the right of you, deeply felt, earth-moving, melodious recitation of pure, unadulterated scriptures, undeniable accounts of revelations, rhythmic scrolls of prophetic lessons to be told, unabsorbed nutrients of spiritual guidance, tested by the flesh with the flesh and unable to fully comprehend that the body is just a vehicle transporting the soul. But in the end, you're left in a world so cold. But in the end, you're left in a space all alone with no man or woman to intercede on behalf of your soul. You are not infallible. Thank you.
That's right. And on that note, thank you for being my guest, my first guest.
My pleasure, Mashiko.
I appreciate you, and you were wonderful, and your poetry is the bomb, and we're going to look out
thank
for you,
you.
And I look forward to hearing from you again soon, inshallah.
Oh, definitely. I'm hoping you'll have me back when the next book is out.
Don't hang up just because you're not on anymore. It's like, no.
I'm going to hang on and listen to the other challenge that's about to come up.
Yes, inshallah. So we're going to get the open mic going, inshallah. Sister Akela, I'm going to holla at you later. All right,
my sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay, guys, I hope you enjoyed Sister Akela. She was definitely wonderful. Very talented, sister, alhamdulillah. So we're going to get the open mic started, inshallah, get it going. I do want to make everybody aware that this is a PG-13 show, so, you know, and I want to open it up to the youth, so if you have any content that is, you know, a little explicit, just censor yourself. You don't have to change anything, just censor yourself, inshallah. So without further ado, I'm going to open the open mic right now, okay, and I'm going to start with 516. 516-710, you're on the air.
Hello?
Assalamu alaikum, how are you?
Praise song. Yeah, I don't want to go
Why are you raising your hand? This is my baby sister. Why are you raising your hand? Are you going to spit some poetry for us, Mina?
No, I was wanted to say something. I was going to say, like, sometimes, you know, yeah, I called in, even though I have an exam on Monday. And can everyone just bring dua for me? Like, I think we should bring dua right now because I'm stressed out, but whatever. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, support you. Yeah. I'm about to hang up.
Very sweet, Nina. Inshallah, I'll make dua that you pass. And stop stressing yourself out. It's just close, okay?
All right. Sorry, Karina.
Like, it's long. All right, we're going to go to our next caller, which is 443, you're on the air.
Wa alaikum salam. How you doing, Marisa?
I'm good. Big sister.
How are you?
Malikum, how are you?
I'm fine. Sitting here listening to you do your thing. You know, I had to call you and support you.
Alhamdulillah. You going to sit? Because I know you write poetry.
I do, but I honestly I wasn't prepared. I was calling to listen and just let you know, and the sister that just spoke that, you know, alhamdulillah, we have, you know, some positive sisters out there that, you know, let people know in the atmosphere that Muslim women are intelligent, Muslim women can do their thing, and Muslim women have the ability to, you know, voice their opinions, you know, in society and just in the whole, as a, you know, in general. So, and then I'm proud of my little sister.
I want to hear something though, Khadija. You're not getting off that easy. I know you got something memorized.
I honestly, I'm not one of them. I'm not a memorizer. I kind of just read.
Khadija, come on.
I know, I'm bad. I'm bad. I'll do the one we were talking, that I had Facebooked you, but it's just something that I was thinking about. And honestly, listening to all of the sisters, you know, Najma and Akila and just all of you guys, you know, it kind of inspired me to just write. So, you know, so I just wrote this. So I'll spit it for you.
Okay.
Hopefully you get it. I didn't title it or anything, but it's just something that I was thinking about, you know, just in terms of the state of the world. So here it goes. Lyrical paradigms and soliloquies race through my mind, searching for the center only to find dangling participles and incomplete thoughts, sentence fragments of all sorts. They chase that grammatical error to the ends of my stem, brainstem, only to discover that plagiarism has tried to enter and seduce them. But just when all hope had been lost, in came my thesauruses, helping us redefine the words I must redirect my sentence structure to construct a complete concept, mindset. So I journey to the center of the other side of my cortex and stop to rest, only to uncover haiku and metaphors like or as stanzas and scores of hyperboles. I find him in a syntax of epics and odes. Hey, I'm sure I traveled down these roads, but then I stopped and looked by the river's edge and met up with Freestyle, and she was consoling Elegy because creativity had died, is deceased, right there in the cities of society, video games, MTV, VH1, Disney. But inspiration told Old to go get allegory and tell a story of a time when imagination and actions like double dutch, hide and go seek, recess in public schools took precedence over arrogance and ignorance and fear. So we took Freestyle by the hand and lifted her voice and reassured her that she would not be doomed or banished to the dungeons of forgetfulness, and if she would just be patient for justice. But when it comes, don't just sit there. Put up your guns and fill them with verbs, nouns, derivatives, conjunctions, adjectives, and such. Shoot them in the sky, bloop, bloop, and watch them fly into the hearts, souls, and eyes of those ready, willing, and able girls and guys. That's it.
Wow. Well, I'm so lucky, Dita. That was excellent. I loved it. That was excellent.
Hello.
That's what's up.
How's Montana? Oh, Hannah is hot. She's hot. Hot mess, that is.
She's such a cutie pie, mashallah. All right, Khadija, I thank you for calling in. You're definitely a big sister to us all.
You're welcome.
You know, inshallah, I look forward to hearing more.
I know. I got to just start spitting. Yeah, I'll spit again.
Yes, I want to hear. I definitely want to hear because I don't get a chance to be in Maryland to go with you and Lonnie to the shows. So
yeah.
I want to hear, definitely. So I look forward to hearing from you again, inshallah. But thank you for calling in and thank you for listening, for real. Like, that means a lot to me.
I love you.
Oh, I love you, too. Don't make me get all mushy, Khadija. Oh, God.
You know how I do it. You know.
All right, baby. Inshallah, I'll talk to you later.
All right,
we're going to keep it going, inshallah. The next person on the open mic is going to be 516. 516, you're on the air. Alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Hi. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Who is this?
This is Aunt Jamila.
Oh, fine. For some reason. Alaikum, you have something you want to share with us on the open mic?
Yes. Inshallah. All right. My book, my second book, more not for you, but Jamila, is called My Voice.
Okay.
Why can't I speak? Aren't I a voice? We have freedom of speech. Or is it your choice to pick and choose who can say what? When we say things, you don't want people to hear us. A conversation is not a conversation without a law being mentioned. But when we mention a law, it seems to get people's attention. Why is it a bad thing? You treat the truth like it's a crime. You cover the truth with falsehood all the time. When we speak out to uncover the truth, you struggle with us, like you're pulling a knot loose tooth. You are trying to prevent an Islamic state from forming. You can't control a law. Look at global warming. Natural causes or not, still a law's decree. Death is coming for everyone. We cannot flee. How many meteors are headed for this planet? Can you control them? No, you didn't plan it. Everything that's happening, Allah is in control of it. Submit to Allah's will and get over it. Nothing you can say or do can stop Allah's plan. Not just us, even the angels obey Allah's command. Islam will reign supreme again whether you like it or not. I invite you to Islam because the hellfire is very hot. I truly love Allah and Islam very much. When we make wudu the limbs that are wet, the hellfire you'll never touch. A way of life, a path that's straight. How could something so peaceful be to you something of hate? I know what it is. Islam is a threat to you. It puts an end to the bad things you like to do. The gambling, drinking, murder, and fornication. Islam makes you free and pure and changes your declaration. We're free from Great Britain since 1776, but our people have to free themselves from believing the crucifix. Someone managed to build a country on a bold-faced lie. They know and hide the truth that Jesus didn't die. They enslave our Muslim ancestors they stole from Africa. Their children are sorry and want to give back to her. To make up for the trials and tribulations they put our people through, 40 acres and a mule, how about we give that to you? Islam teaches unity and we can all live in peace. Our children will see the day when the lies will cease. Jesus will come back as Allah said he'll descend. His doubt, his wickedness will be put to an end. The whole world will see Islam in a beautiful state. The time is coming, we anticipate. Islam corrects and protects all the believers' rights. Because your arrogance to the Creator, your rebelliousness makes you fight against all those who oppose your way of living. Allah is merciful and he's all forgiving. Doesn't everyone want a better way to live? Islam offers humans the best of life Allah can give. the examples in our prophet, the prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you deny. You don't want us to mention him either. Why? I may have mentioned that already. Islam is a threat. Islam has an impression on you you'll never forget. Let the human race decide who they want to follow. Stop spreading lies to the people of tomorrow. You are confusing the youth to distract them from their choice. Truth knocks false's brains out, and the truth is in my voice.
MashaAllah. Shukran for sharing, sis. And inshallah, this sister will be our next feature coming up on, the, I believe it's the 16th, every other Saturday, inshallah. She'll be our next feature. So we're going to talk to her, inshallah, next time. But shukran for listening. And sister, I appreciate it, and thank you for sharing with us. Alhamdulillah.
Nice show.
Shukran. I'll talk to you later, inshallah. All right, okay. All right, we're going to go to our next call, inshallah, and that is 718. 718, you're on the air.
Salaam alaikum. Salaam. Naj. Yeah, okay. I'm back.
Drop it on us. All right, we're ready. All right. We're ready.
First of all, I'd like to send a shout-out to the previous spoken word, open mic sisters just now, because they were dropping some heavy knowledge just now. And Akilah was excellent, and she did my favorite poem, Infallible, and I really love that poem, and I wanted to just let her know that. So I never get to tell her that, but I really love that poem. So, all right, here I go. I don't even know what to do. I'm gonna do a love poem because you guys were getting all political, so I'm going to go another way. So I'm going to do You Haven't Met Me Yet. All right, check it. You say you hate the world, any vengeful soul with a wound, but you haven't met me yet. You say you hate what she turned you into, what she did, what was done, and how you were stupid enough not to see through her deceit. That may be true, justified even, but you haven't met me yet. Where love used to lie is now replaced with suspicion. I see how you look at every X chromosome, as a potential threat, an enemy. Looks don't mesmerize you as they once did. A smile is not enough to hold your attention. The reality of promises unkept have turned you cold and bitter. But don't lose hope because you haven't met me yet. I know you've heard it all before. I know you've been through it before. I know you built that wall so you don't have to feel pain anymore. I know you. I will protect you. I will offer you my heart. I will offer you all of me. You will love me, you will trust me, you will reach out for me, your body will ache for me. We will mentally, spiritually, and physically connect. But for now, I'm here just patiently waiting because you haven't met me yet.
So, I heard that one before. You are an excellent poet, though. You already know that, though.
MashaAllah. No, not really. Yo, I'm like,
yes,
please. Recently, I was like, ripped up the whole book and started all over. I'm serious.
No,
that
seriously.
Was
good, though. That was good.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, I want to be sweet. I'm not going to be my angry woman tonight. We're going to do that on another show.
Yeah, I thought you were going to do the love poem that you did for us.
No, not yet.
Not yet. You're not ready to do that.
Don't forget
my love, okay? All right.
Yo, it's going to be a blast, though. Okay.
Just talking to you. I got to cut.
But you know, get on quick. You know I love that poem, though. I was loving that poem when you did it. Alhamdulillah, that was an excellent poem. But Lucha's going to bail out on us. She's not doing anything.
Yeah, I'm working on it now. I'm going to memorize it. I'm actually going to perform it at the next thing that I do. So you're going to hear it.
Okay. All right, well, keep us posted. And don't forget to add Najma53 on your Facebook. That's your fan page, right? Najma53.
NAJMAH53. Yeah, so inshallah.
We definitely have to support each other, so definitely tune in and listen to her, inshallah.
Yeah, and same thing, you got to pass me all your information so I can put you on my page and shout you out on my show.
All right, inshallah, baby girl. Where's Lucha?
All right. Lucha said to tell you. Yeah, she's going to do next show because she got to wake up at 7 a.m. Yo, she got to go to work at 7 a.m. She over here falling asleep, knocked out, so she said she got you on the next one.
She's like Marisa, an early bird. I know. All right, baby girl. Inshallah, I'm gonna hit you up later. Shukran for listening.
All right, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum salam. All right, we're gonna have our next caller. Area code 315. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm scared. You can hear me?
Don't be scared. Nobody can see you.
I know.
Michael, how are you?
Huh?
How are
I'm
you?
Fine. I was about to hang up. Like, nah, I think I'm going to hang up. But.
What? I didn't even know who this was. Now I know who it is. It's Five. Okay. Okay, yeah. Martha told me you're going to get on here. So you're going to spit something for us, sis?
Yeah. All right. I'm going to spit something.
I know you ain't. Girl, you better stop it.
I'm
know you're not scared. No, you're not.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's mad nice who just went up.
Alhamdulillah, yes, these sisters have talent. That is the purpose of this, to showcase the talent, because nobody knows. We don't all get to go to all the different spoken word events. So this is a place for all of us to get together and to listen in on different artists and, you know, discover somebody new and add them to your page, and maybe you want to follow them or whatever. So, yeah, that's what it's for. But I'm sure a lot of people are going to be following you after you spit. So I'm waiting to hear something.
All right. It's called "That Story Maryam Still Make You Weep." All right, hey sister, I truly do miss you. We had some wild fun, we did some wild things, but we became aliens to each other once we became teens. You used to run away to my crib when your mom was a fiend, and her male friends used to use you as their little plaything. In the past, we made a secret pact. I'm a woman of my word, so even to this day, I still got your back. We would read Sarah Maryam, and you would cry. You never gave me an answer when I asked you why. You just replied, alive to Wafia. Now that I'm older, I understand, and now Sarah Maryam makes me tear. You wanted to get married, to have kids, be a wife. That's why I don't believe the story of you on Facebook claiming to be a dyke. I remember at 14, you told me you gave it up to Timothy willingly. You weren't even a virgin the day you lost your virginity. So many men early on got to you. You told me never tell, and as a loyal 11-year-old friend, that's what I chose to do. I look back and wish I knew better. I could have been able to get you through some of the stormy weather. At 15, you no longer wanted to be at the mosque. You chose to be on the block and chase guys who sold rocks. Pretty face, small waist, Trina's butt. No one to save you from your life but the thugs. Your jeans became tighter, your hips became whiter, your hair became brighter, your apparel got righter, but your mind got no wiser. I cursed you out when you said you no longer prayed. I was amazed because you're the same person who told me being Muslim is what brightened up your dark days. You said you was going to get back on your track, but for now you're going to lay flat on your back. But what's whack is you called yourself a female Mac. How outrageous is that? There's only one name for those, and it's called a hoe. Your radiant face no longer has that glow. I guess it's from dancing. I guess it's from doing blow before a show, dancing on poles. You think about your childhood goals, but forget quick once you shove that white itch up your nose. You think sniffing and popping pills ain't using. It's so sad, just like your Umi, now you're abusing. I ask around, keep tabs on how you're doing. It hurts me to hear how you're moving. I heard you almost was a mother, but your baby father pounded you kind of bad. He took the life of the baby girl you were thinning. At that point, I guess you had enough of the evils that men do. You let a lesbian befriend you. Now I hear that's the new stuff that you're into. You used to be full of grace with a heart filled with faith. Yeah, you're right. I don't know how it feels to live your life, but I know how it feels to cry to Allah alone at night. I wish I could somehow get to your soul and help you come back to the way of life before one of our lives go. You're my sister, Rudy and Vanessa, Sandra and Denise, SWV, Thelma and Louise. I want the best for you like I want the best for me. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be at peace. Yeah, I wonder if Sarah Maryam still makes you weep.
Wow. That almost made me cry, girl. You're going to have me crying on the air. Alhamdulillah, Shukran for closing us out with that. That was our last open mic, you guys. And this is Stop. Introduce yourself the way you want to be called, because I don't know what you're. You know, your stage rapper slash poet name is yet, so.
My name is Saf. I'm not no stage. I don't have a stage name. I'm just Saf.
All right, so you're just Saf. just Star.
Yeah.
So if you want to hear more from Star, hit her on Facebook. I will post her Facebook page in my comments. Inshallah, y'all, that's the show. I'm so happy that you all listened and participated. Mashallah, first show, I'm like so elated right now. You don't even understand. But inshallah, we'll see you guys. Not see you, but hear you guys. Not this Saturday coming up, but the following Saturday. And I got 10 seconds, so we're going to say peace. Shukran Saf again. Love you, girl. I'll holler at all y'all later. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum assalam.